This episode of WDW Today is being sponsored by All Star Vacation Homes, and boy, do I love having lots of space when I stay at All Star Vacation Homes. You know, when I go on vacation, you know, I love my family. I love spending time with my family in the parks, riding with my daughter on her favorite rides, getting all those great memories. But the memories I don't enjoy are sleeping in the same room as her because it's just not fun. She plays with her dolls. She makes noises. She likes to sing before she goes to bed. It's an ordeal. But you know what? At All Star Vacation Home, I don't have to worry about that. And that's right. I stick her in her own room. We get our own room. Heck, Mike Newell can have his own room when he comes and stays with us, too. And we all have our own privacy. In fact, we all have separate bathrooms, so we don't have to worry about fighting for the shower. And all these things that you typically run into with small little hotel rooms, not the problem at All-Star Vacation Homes. In fact, you get so many great amenities. You need to check them out right now at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Bringing the world to your world, this is Walt Disney World Today. Here are Mike Scopa, Len Testa, Mike Newell, and your host, Matt Hochberg.
It's Friday, October 31st, 2014, and this is episode 1416 of WDW Today. I'm Matt Hochberg of StudiosCentral.com and RoyalCaribbeanBlog.com. Joining me on today's show, Mike Scopa, a blogger for TouringPlans.com, and he's also the co-host of the Mickey Miles podcast. Welcome to the show, Mike.
The wheels of progress turn swiftly here. What?
Muppets.
Muppet Vision 3D.
Jeez. Where's Mike? That's right. I forgot Newell was here. I should have.
Joining me also on today's show, Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Happy anniversary, Mike.
Thank you for remembering.
Well, that's right.
Yes, thank you.
Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
The things you learn when you read.
Happy anniversary.
When you read the WDW Today Wiki.
Nothing like spending my anniversary handing out candy to small children.
Yeah, this is for you.
Here. I get nothing, but this is for you.
Yeah. Should give them little bottles of wine. Like you go to the liquor store and
yeah, toast us as you leave.
Oh yeah! In other news today, a local man was arrested for giving booze to small children. Len told me.
It's my anniversary. Sure
this Len official person is.
It was Len.
Also joining us on today's show, Len Testa, co-author of The Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World, and he's also the host of the Disney Dish with Jim Hill podcast. Welcome to the show, Len.
How's it going, Matt?
Outstanding. You know, Len, speaking of Jim Hill, you had recently an event last week with Jim Hill and Mike Newell, in fact. How did that end up going?
Oh, it was a lot of fun. It was great. We ended up selling at the venue. I didn't know that until I actually got there. But it was great. We had 80 people. We talked for like almost 3 hours. Yeah. Actually, it was longer than that. It was like 3.5.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a lot of fun. It was great to see everybody. We all learned some new things about ourselves, about each other, about the World's Fair. It was good. It was a lot of fun.
Nice. Sounds like a good time. On today's show, we are talking about what restaurants we would like to see in downtown Disney because Len, you brought this topic to the show's attention because based on a recent announcement about some of the stuff coming into – well, it's not downtown Disney anymore. It's Disney Springs. Sorry.
Yeah, Disney Springs. Yep. Yeah, so there were a couple of new big restaurants that were announced, and these are the Boathouse, which is opening in the Landing area, and that should be in the spring. So that should be January, February, March, April-ish, somewhere in there. That's it's supposed to be like an upscale restaurant featuring like seafood, raw bar, but also like steaks and stuff like that. But the interesting thing about that, and I don't know how this is all going to work, but apparently they're going to have some sort of water taxi that gives you a tour of the waterway.
Huh.
It's strange, right? Hmm. And then there'll be other guided tours as well. There's supposed to be some other boat-based entertainment too. Anyway, but that coupled with the announcement yesterday, or 2 days ago, of the new Morimoto restaurant. You guys remember Chef Morimoto from Iron Chef?
Ah, yes.
On the Food Network, right? Yeah, he's doing a fairly large Asian restaurant coming to
the landing
as well in Disney Springs in 2015, and that's going to feature. So, you know, have you ever eaten at a Morimoto restaurant?
He owns a number of them. Which are the brand? I think I have. I forget all the brands that he owns. Or is that a different guy I'm thinking of?
You might be thinking of Nobu, but
yeah.
they're all Nobu, yeah. So even at Morimoto's Philadelphia restaurant, it's not bad. It's not quite as good as Nobu. But it's, you know, very inventive, and the food is pretty solid. This will be pan-Asian, so it'll be Chinese, Japanese, Thai, things like that. So street food stalls, Peking duck, dim sum, things like that. It should be a lot of fun. But the thing that got me thinking about that, so Japanese was sort of a thing that was missing, right, in Downtown Disney. And until Morimoto's was announced, I hadn't really thought what was missing. But it got me to wonder what other restaurant concepts or cuisines could be going into Downtown Disney.
Well, yeah, so this is I was going to say, you know, the one thing that I took away from this, Len, thinking about what I would want in Downtown Disney, and I don't think it'll ever happen, but I would really prefer to see way more Disney restaurants. I know that they use the Downtown Disney space and even this new Disney Springs space to essentially be like a mall, right? I mean, the malls are, you know, a company owns it, but they just allow other companies to come in and do business here. And this is essentially what they're doing. They're just outsourcing the whole thing. You know, here's a plot, open it up. But the thing is that, you know, the reason why I think Downtown Disney dining previous to this whole Disney Springs thing was never on the same level as, say, Epcot or anywhere else really in the parks is simply because I feel like when you get to when outside companies run restaurants, they just do it differently, regardless of how well Disney preps them and gives them, you know, guidance and rules and regulations. Mm-hmm. I just feel like you get a different experience. They're not cast members, the servers, that is. They, you know, they're different companies run in a completely different environment, again, regardless of what Disney tells them. And it's clear. I mean, you can look at any restaurant that hasn't been owned by Disney and versus Disney owned restaurants. And, you know, when we list out our favorite restaurants in Walt Disney World, these other restaurants aren't making our list.
That's, Disney owns so many of them. I think the one thing that Disney has going for them is the setting, especially in the theme park restaurants. If they think that there's a good concept in a good location, they probably wouldn't give it up to an outside vendor. So that could be part of it too. So, that's true. Like, what in Epcot, what's run by third parties? La Hacienda, all of Mexico is.
Yep.
Italy's all run by the Patina Group, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. But Viennapoli's pretty good.
It is.
And I certainly like La Hacienda. I think that's definitely in the top third of.
I think it's overpriced.
You think?
I do.
Maybe moderately, but I mean the rest of Epcot is too.
I think that the issue is again. I go back to the staff and again the decor. I mean, you get at best you get Rainforest Cafe, which is terrible theming. You know, over the top. Like,
I'll give you that. That could be coloring all of our opinions.
You know, and then otherwise you get like what, like. The Italian restaurant at Downtown Disney that's closing now, the
Portobello,
which has no theme. It's just like it's basically a Olive Garden theme. You know? It's like, hey, look, here's some olives. Here you go.
I don't understand how Portobello didn't make it. They were always busy every time I went.
I had one really bad experience over there, but that was many, many years ago. So
I had two pretty decent experiences there.
Yeah me too.
That's my thought. I mean, that's just my call on it. But I don't think it's ever going to happen, honestly. I just don't think Disney's ever going to do that. It's too much investment, whereas they could just have someone come in here, give them literally a dump truck full of money.
Yeah, there's no risk, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Disney's going to get their fee plus 10% or whatever.
What about you, Len? What would you like to see in Disney Springs?
So a couple of things I thought. I'll give you one. I'd like to see we have one of these in Greensboro, believe it or not, and I really like the idea. It's not Mexican food. It is tacos. All they sell are tacos, but they're high end tacos. So there's they might have barbecued brisket with an Asian sauce and Asian coleslaw and stuff like that on it. But they might do duck. Or, you know, all these different ingredients rather than, you know, ground beef or chicken, the usual, or shrimp. Just some really interesting stuff. Vegetarian-friendly, vegan-friendly stuff. But all they do are tacos and a few appetizers. You can they just expanded the menu so that you can get your tacos wrapped up as a burrito, but that is it. And they're actually explicit about saying they're a taco restaurant, not a Mexican restaurant. And I like that sort of specialization because it allows them to explore the idea but stay within a consistent theme. So it's not like, you know, they're a barbecue restaurant that all of a sudden has to start selling cupcakes. Two things, by the way, which I think would be great in Downtown Disney. But, you know, so within the concept of tacos. They can explore a wide variety of fillings, but still keep the same basic concept. And it's a really great idea. They also have a pretty extensive bar, which I really like as well. But I think that'd be a great idea, a taco place.
I love that because, you know, if there's something I learned from Kitchen Nightmares, one of my favorite shows to watch late at night, it's that, you know, simplicity in the menu is always to the best because then you get to specialize in something rather than trying to be
all things
decent.
People.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a great idea in that you keep it simple but really do well with it. If they can knock it out of the park with, just like you said, just tacos and that's it, then yeah. Hey, you know, people like good food. They're willing to take one good thing over a bunch of just, you know, meh things.
Yeah, and this is a – you know, this is Greensboro, but there's you know, there's a line out the door for this place for lunch every single day. Mm. It's called Crafted, in case anybody ever wants to show up to it. Anyway, yeah, so that's what this one I do. Yeah.
Do you happen to own a T-shirt that gets you a discount if you wear it there?
I don't. My Mario's pizza. The whole Mario's team sold out about 5 years ago.
No.
I know. 2011.
That
it's
I've lost one less joke.
Now. Yeah. And it's completely different now. It's not family owned, so it's all corporate, and you can wear your shirt in there, and nobody cares anymore.
That stinks.
Pizza's still good though.
Oh, that's good. Scope, what about you? What would be something you'd like to see? What a restaurant at Disney Springs?
I've got about five ideas here, and
one at a time.
Just said pizza. I've talked about this at Boardwalk, but I really think, with all, you know, apologies to Earl of Sandwich, I think it would be really cool to have a New York style deli.
I down was there. The same thing. You know? That's so funny.
And,
yeah.
And you know, Lynn, and half of it would be like pizza, you know, New York pizza. And I think it would be, you know, the kind of stuff that would really be different than Earl of Sandwich. I think that would work really well. I think that is very much lacking down there, and I think it would do well. The other thing that I've often wondered is there really isn't a place down there to go for breakfast, you know, other than going to the House of Blues on Sunday. But why not have a special
Waffle House
Disney themed,
like the Disney Disney diner?
Yeah. There you go. A Disney themed breakfast restaurant where maybe you could have characters, maybe not, but it would bring people down to the downtown Disney Springs early on in the day. I think that would be good. Something that Disney has always lacked is also a Indian or a Mideastern
Indian
style restaurant. And, you know, don't give me Sanaa. Sanaa is close, but not there, you know.
No, we went to this Indian place in Murray Hill in New York over the weekend, last weekend, and it was fabulous. It was all, I didn't actually realize it until we sat down. It was all vegetarian, but I had a chickpea curry with
where can you find curry in Disney Disney World, you know?
Yeah, Indian. I think that'd be huge. That's a great idea. Yeah, Scope was two for two.
And the other thing I think would be kind of neat would be if there was some kind of a store where you could have specialty salads. In other words, you can customize your salad,
yeah.
The type of greens, the type of ingredients, the type of you know, if you want meat in there, if you want tofu in there, if you want mushroom, anything, something that would
place.
Be really.
What's the
really,
what's the tomato place?
Sweet
tomatoes. Yeah.
There's about three or four of them in Orlando. They're really nice too.
Salad stores are big in New York right now. Every corner has one of those salad places.
Because it's not just salads. I mean, it's salad plus. You may call it salad.
Yeah, and it's the plus where they make their money, because you're gonna get a cookie to go with your salad, right? Or
Give me a couple $100,000 and I'll open up a pizza place down there. Why not?
Oh, yeah.
Pizza. See, this is all influenced by my walking around New York this weekend, but I think a noodle place would be great for, I mean, you know, not in the middle of July, people don't want noodles, but you could do cold noodles. But at night you could do a bowl of noodles. It's a fun food because it's not pretentious. You can customize them all kinds of ways. I mean, starting from a vegetable base, a vegetable stock, you can put anything in it. You can put chicken, beef, seafood, you know, in it. You could put tofu, seitan, you know, anything like that in and customize it. And you can do all kinds of different flavors. I mean, the same soup base with a little bit of chili paste, some lime, and a little bit of rice vinegar is completely different than if you put in, you know, a little bit of you know, beef bouillon, and you know, a couple of stewed tomatoes. It's completely different, but I think a noodle place would be really good.
That might work.
And the thing is, you can, like, if you guys have done this in Chinatown, you can carry around a cup of noodles and eat it as you walk. Right?
Oh, yeah.
It's, yeah, so you can walk. It's not like you have to sit down and do it. It'd be good.
How about a tapas place?
Oh, jeez.
Tapas would be great. We had one.
Oh, I thought
Royal
you
Caribbean.
Said topless.
Oh. How about that?
How about that?
Yeah, a tapas place. No, Matt, what's the name of the tapas place on the
Vintages?
Vintages on the Allure. Yeah, that was great.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you know, small plates of meats, cheeses, olives, you know, small vegetables, pickled vegetables. You know, reasonably priced. It's almost like food and wine, but permanent.
Yeah, exactly. Although it's pretty great, much that's becoming that, but.
Oh, the trucks are going to be down there pretty soon, right?
Speaking of trucks, how about a chicken wing place? Chicken. So I was. This is where I wanted to go to Newell when we were when I wanted you to come in to the city for dinner last weekend. What I wanted to do is go for chicken wings because
there was an article
in the New York Times about 10 days ago about this explosion of gourmet chicken wing places in New York City, and they're all apparently really really good. And in fact, I actually had chicken wings for dinner tonight because I'm still in my chicken wing mood, but. Yeah, but I mean, you could do, think of all the different glazes you can put on. You could do sweet, you know, you can do teriyaki, you can do sour, you can do hot, you can do
buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, you could do, you know, fruity, you could do all kinds of stuff.
That does sound good.
Yeah, apparently a big one is a mango chutney.
Oh, okay, yep, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, not like strawberry, no. But wings are apparently super popular. Again, it's one of those things that you can sort of eat with one hand as you're walking around.
I like the idea. I think it would definitely work. You know, there's a lot of possibilities, but the thing that also we probably should keep in mind is that if I had to guess is that with the Morimoto edition separate, Disney likes to go back to the partners they've used time and time again.
Cupertino Group and
And bring
they know how to run restaurants, yeah.
Yeah, and exactly. And the problem is you get a lot of, it's not like more of the same, but like as an example, you have, you know, the Rainforest Cafe has been there forever, and then they added T-Rex, which is essentially the same.
It's the same restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the danger when you do that. Now, granted, I mean, look, it's like, you know, if you know some guy's got money and they want to spend it, you know, why do you have to go lift them under other rocks, right? You go to the guy who's gonna pay you now rather than someone who may pay you later. So that I understand why they do it from that standpoint, but a lot of these ideas would require going outside of where Disney's been operating for.
Well, you got to swing hard if you're going to hit home runs, right?
That's true. But I don't think Disney wants to hit home runs, honestly. I think they're okay with just
singles.
I think they just like resting on their laurels. They figured they're going to put something in there, and you know what? People are going to show up.
Yeah, I think I like the idea of more motors. The boathouse thing is just a little bizarre to me. We'll see how long the boat rides actually last. I don't give it a year, but we'll see. That's interesting. What about a barbecue place?
Like barbecue chicken,
ribs.
That's big in
ribs.
That's big in Tampa. I know that.
Yeah, I know they've got that smokehouse, which is sort of a little stand up by House of Blues, but
real barbecue, yeah,
a real barbecue, yeah, like Junior's or something like that, or you know, something from North Carolina, an actual. Yeah,
I like that idea.
You know, you could smell it a mile away.
That's probably what you run.
Feeling, yeah.
You probably run into trouble with that. That the smell, everybody would probably. Yeah.
That's true. So maybe they put it at one end. Interesting. What about a Grace Papaya or Mike's?
Here we go.
Oh, that would get me to move back to Florida.
You haven't been in New York.
I had, back.
Uh-huh. Last weekend when I was in New York, I had pizza and hot dogs, I think, every day. It was just
nothing says Mr. Sensitivity to his life partner like someone that's a vegan, like eating wings and hot dogs every day.
We did have vegetarian Indian one night, but I was like, I just need two slices of pizza. Just give me a minute here.
He was on a hunt for the dollar pizza. He kept saying, "Where's the 99-cent
pizza?" Yeah, I couldn't find dollar. The best I could do is $1.75 pizza. And it was funny because I got pizza when I was in Washington D.C. and it wasn't as good. I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have pushed my luck because New York pizza is just different.
Washington D.C. is not known for its pizza.
No. Washington D.C. is no. If somehow you could put cheese and tomato sauce on political corruption and cronyism, they'll be millionaires.
I've got one. So we know that there are several restaurants in Walt Disney World who they've got their own signature macaroni and cheese. So what if you had a place that had macaroni and cheese and you could put any topping you wanted on it if you want mushrooms on it, if you want shrimp on it, if you want.
There was a place. There was a food stall in on 35th and Madison. No, they were doing this like food stall thing along the street.
Uh huh.
And you know, one place was did nothing but different variations of mac and cheese.
Oh, wow.
Like sweet mac and cheese.
With different kinds of cheese. You know?
And different. So you could be, you know, savory, but it was like, you know, so it could be like, you know, beefy or chicken or, you know, spicy or vegetable flavored or, you know, straight up mac and cheese with 16 different cheeses.
Mango chutney. Like
mango chutney. Yeah, exactly. But, and then, you know, you can have different toppings on it. You could do like a, you can have a plain, obviously. You could put lobster in it, but you could do like crumb toppings or baked toppings, sweet toppings, you know, hot toppings, stuff like that. It was really super interesting stuff.
I think the truck still would still do very well. Len and I were walking in Manhattan the other night, Sunday night, what was it, about 10 o'clock? And the line for this one particular car.
Oh, my God, yeah. That was like the...
it had to be 40 people deep online for this car. Really? For a food cart, and it was...
Just falafel. I mean, it was, you know, whatever, you know, the halal stuff.
Yeah. It smelled really, really good.
It really did, but I had just eaten pizza like 2 hours before, so...
And chicken wings.
Yeah. Chicken wings were today.
And hot dogs.
The hot dog was the same day, yes. It's all right.
Yeah, so some good options there. And, of course, we want to hear what our listeners have to think about, some ideas
about
what they would put into Disney Springs. So, you know, you can, of course, tweet us. We are at WDW Today Podcast or go to Facebook.com/ WDW Today, and you can share with us what you think would be a good addition for a restaurant at Disney Springs. Lots of choices out there.
Yeah.
Don't forget, of course, the sponsor for today's episode is All Star Vacation Homes. And if you don't like any of the food you eat at Disney World, that's all right. You can go back to your All Star Vacation Home. Maybe have a grill by the pool, kids in the pool, you grilling, or
have your own chef
grilling.
Have your chef grill.
Yeah, you could do that. Well, that was a couple of, about 2 years ago, we had a live show at an All-Star Vacation Home, and we had a private chef, which is something you can book. Just like you want an extra bedroom, you can also get a private chef. It's just a little checkbox, and you get to get a private chef who'll come to your All-Star Vacation Home and cook you up an amazing meal. Len and Mike and I had it, and boy, howdy, it was good. And this is the kind of things you can do at All-Star Vacation. You have your own private, there's a full kitchen. If you want to go at it, feel free to. And when Mr. Scope was there, he cooked us up a whole pizza. It was amazing. And I didn't have to wear
it. That was delicious.
Yes, I didn't have to wear a T-shirt of Mike Scopa in order to get a free slice. So that's great. Check them out right now. AllStarVacationHomes.com. For Lentest, I'm Mike Scopa and Mike Newell. I'm Matt Hotchberg. We'll see you on the next show.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.